This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, with Eskom doing its best to hasten its utility death spiral, increasing attention is certainly being paid to getting off the utility grid. And for businesses large enough to consider this, take Goldfields Granny Smith Solar Plant announced last week getting off the grid entirely and signing a corporate power purchase agreement with an IPP, an independent power provider. How are these deals structured and what sort of trend are we seeing in the broader marketplace? Well, I've invited Kieran White, partner and head of the Energy, Mining and Infrastructure Practice at Baker & McKenzie in Joburg to share what he's seeing from, I would call it the coal face, but we don't see too many coal IPPs, Kieran, probably from the solar face. Good evening.
Good evening, Michael. Thank you for having me on your show.
Now, power purchase agreements aren't all that new, although we can certainly see an emerging trend. To what extent is the outcome of the Paris Agreement and other sustainable development goal type policies globally, to what extent are they driving this trend?
Yeah, Michael, well, obviously with the Paris agreements and the recent meetings in Poland, we've seen a great move towards decarbonization and the need to actually embrace that. So certainly we've seen across the globe, and in particular, I think we're going to see more of it in the South African market as well as Africa, about the direct procurement of renewable energy through corporate PPAs, as they've become known. And I think apart from the environmental issue and the decarbonization, you know, in the global world, you see many off-takers moving to what's called the RE100 Club, which is 100% of their energy obtained from renewable resources. And we see this with high-tech companies, retailers, and other players in the commercial industrial space. But I think what we're going to see, the big driver is going to be, it's going to be an economic driver. Mm. And it's just the pricing differential. So I think what we are seeing across the board is a move towards higher energy costs. But against that, we've seen falling solar module prices. So there's a big pricing differential arises from this vis-a-vis what price that, say, an off-taker can procure through a corporate PPA as opposed to grid-tied procurement. So they're looking to save on electricity costs, and they are also using it as a hedge to future energy costs that could be coming down the line.
And that said, just explain how a typical corporate PPA works, because the structure is quite interesting. The energy buyer and the generator agree on a, sort of a strike price for the electricity, and depending on where the spot market price is, it can vary. How exactly does it work?
Yeah, so Michael, it can be done in various ways. One could be a direct purchase between a generator and an off-taker. It could also be the off-taker setting up a separate entity to develop the project, and they then become an affiliate off-taker. Alternatively, it could be done through where they have to wheel the power through the grid, and that could either be the Eskom National Grid Transmission, or it could be through a municipal grid. Obviously, that does introduce either extra costs or an element of risk. And then, of course, you start getting into the contracts like you see in the U.S. market and elsewhere, very sophisticated, where they're doing contracts for difference, where there are an aggregation, if you like, of various off-takers, where people have views just like they do in, say, people's views on interest rates within the financial market, and they enter into ISDA arrangements or swap arrangements. So that's the very sophisticated part of it, where one off-taker has a view on a price, and then another off-taker has a view on another price, and they enter into contracts for difference, and then depending where the price goes, that will also depend who pays or who doesn't pay. So it's quite interesting when you see this taking place against the context of the mooted restructuring of Eskom announced by the President in the State of the Nation, and the split up of Eskom, and you see the transmission side with the system operator or the independent system operator, some refer to it. Will they get into this type of thing themselves, where they're procuring from various IPPs, not only from within the Eskom generation fleet? Mm. So I think it's an area where we're going to see a lot of innovation, I think people are going to be wanting to strike a deal. It may not be able to secure their total electricity that they need, because they can always fall back upon the grid to the extent the sun doesn't shine on that particular time.
And you know, I was chatting to Goldfields spokesman Sven Luncher last week, and they announced the Granny Smith solar deal. And the reason they chose Granny Smith over South Africa to pilot such a large-scale solar PPA is, he said, largely a factor of the regulatory environment being far more welcoming in Australia than it is in South Africa, which I found quite interesting considering how successful our REAP program has been. What are some of those regulatory challenges that companies have to overcome to execute a corporate PPA in South Africa?
Right. So, Michael, the overall energy mix of South Africa is going to be determined by the integrated resource plan. The current one at the moment is dated 2010. It's obviously in the throes of being updated. We hope that will be issued as soon as possible. And within that, it's going to tell us where the various energy resources of South Africa are planned to come from. Within that, they have a section called distributed generators, and that's where these corporate PPAs could well fit. We hope that the megawatts there will be sufficient to meet the demand of the market. And the current draft had it at 200 megawatts. I think the market is a lot greater than that. So once you get that in, then, of course, you then have to get into the energy regulation, the Electricity Regulation Act, and it's Schedule 2, and you have to see whether you will be able to get an exemption or whether you have to apply for a license. And there's various categories of plant that are exempt. If you have to apply for a license, of course, you have to show compliance with the integrated resource plan. So we hope that the necessary regulatory changes will take place to facilitate this, so that, you know, we have something which is modern and required by society, meets the demand of customers, and it's not being hamstrung by an antiquated, inflexible regulatory environment. So one is going to be the regulatory side. That is an important one. The other is obviously the financing side and debt financing and how you can do this. Again, I think this calls for innovation and perhaps an aggregation of various off-takers to make these projects more financeable, with debt financing sort of on a vanilla project finance basis.
Yeah, and it, within that, a huge opportunity. One just hopes that the government as regulator can see the opportunity and not just look at this as a threat to the incumbent. Kieran White, a partner at Baker McKenzie, talking about the rise of corporate power purchase agreements, certainly in light of the latest bout of load shedding. We're likely to see this trend continue in South Africa.